Pastor here, and for the next few minutes I'm going to talk to you about Christmas, surprisingly enough. One of the things that I love most about Christmas is presents. Always have done. I'm sure I'm not alone, but there you go. And I've got three presents up here under our tree. I'm going to need three volunteers to help me open them. All the volunteers need to be under 15, and not yet. In a bit, I will ask for volunteers. We're going to spend a few minutes looking at one verse from the Bible. We've had a number of readings. We're going to look at one verse from another part of the Bible, which really kind of encapsulates what Christmas is all about. Here it is. It's the most famous verse in the Bible from John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 16. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Whoever puts their trust in him will not die, but will have eternal life." This is Christmas in a nutshell. This is Christianity in a nutshell. And this verse is full of surprises. It starts off, God so loved the world. It tells us that Christmas is all about God's love. You might say, well, that's not so surprising. But I reckon there are at least three things that are very surprising about what we learn of God's love in this verse. Who God loves, how God shows his love, and what God's love achieves. So we're going to think about each of those in turn. Firstly, who does God love? I need my first volunteer. Yes. You called out, so I'm going to choose you. Abraham, why don't you come up? You get to open the first presents. Pull the ribbon. Well done. Now what are you going to do? Okay. Ooh, that's a bit odd. Do you want to put it out? That's a bit surprising. All right. Let's lift it up. You can go and sit down. Thank you very much. That looks like it needs inflating. Bear with me. I'll try not to pass out. One more. All right. There we go. A globe or a world. Now, what has that got to do with who God loves? Let's look at our verse again. What does the verse tell us about who God loves? Oh, look, I've helped you out. For God so loved, yeah, is he? The world. God so loved the world. And that's why we've got a world here to remind us of who God loves. He loves the world. He loves all the people in the world. So God doesn't just love good people. He doesn't just love religious people. God loves all people. He loves bad people, selfish people. God even loves people who don't love him. That is rather surprising. Now, there are some people in the world that I find it particularly amazing that God should love. But the person that I find it most amazing that he loves is me. Because I know more about myself than anyone else. I know how undeserving I am of God's love. I know how often I push him aside and deliberately do things that he hates. I know how often I fail to thank him. How often I live my life as if he isn't even there. How often I say to God, shove off. I'm in charge. And no one tells me what to do. When you look at the world, when you look at your own heart, I hope you agree that God's love is surprising. The second surprising thing about God's love is how he shows his love. How he shows his love. We need another volunteer. Cameron, why don't you come forward? I wrapped this one myself. Go for it. You can just pull one of those loose ones. That's it. Lift after. Ooh. Ooh. Do you want to lift it out? Okay. What is it? A baby. A baby. Okay, you can sit down. Thank you very much. What has a baby got to do with how God shows his love? Let's look at our verse again, and I've helped you out again. Can you see what it says? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Christmas is about the birth of a very special baby, Jesus, the Son of God. And so this baby reminds us that the way that God shows his love for the world is by giving his son. Christmas is about the birth of God's son. Now, giving gifts is a way of showing love, isn't it? We do it a lot at Christmas. And you can tell something of what a person thinks of you by the gift that they give you. If someone gives you a gift that is very precious, it probably means that they love you very much. Well, what is the gift that God has given to us? God gave us his son. God doesn't have anything more precious that he could give us. At the first Christmas, God gave the greatest gift that has ever been given. God gave his very best. Some of you know I have a son called Jacob. You've probably heard him. He's at the back. That's not him, but it is him. It is. I don't even recognize my own son's cry. He's 2 years old, and there is no way in the world that I would give him to any of you. I just don't love you that much. But the amazing thing is that God does. He loves you so much that he was willing to give his son. It is my privilege to tell you this Christmas that God absolutely loves you to bits. He has nothing more precious that he could have given you. But there's more to this gift. You see, God didn't just give his son to be a baby. God gave his son to be a savior, a rescuer. Christmas is about the birth of the rescuer. I wonder if you heard that in some of the readings and carols that we had earlier. Do you remember the angel said to Joseph, give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means God saves. And then the angel said to the shepherds, I bring you good news of great joy today in the town of David. A savior has been born to you. He's Christ the Lord. God gave his son to be our savior, our rescuer, which leads into our third surprise. Before I get volunteers, let's just recap. What have we learned so far? Who does God love? He loves the world, you and me. How does he show his love? He gave us his son. Thirdly, our third surprise is what God's love achieves. So, a final volunteer? Yes, at the back. Is it Max? Come on down. You get the biggest present of all. And just get in there. What do you reckon it is before you try?
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, it's pretty hard to tell. Go on. I'll hold it. You rip it. Oh. You're just going to pull it out. That would be very neat. Then we could reuse the wrapping paper. Environmentally friendly. All right. What is it? Do you know what it is? What would you call it? I would call it a life ring, but I'm not sure if that's what it should be called. What would you do with it? Throw it out and save people. Exactly right. If someone was in trouble in the water, throw it out to them and rescue them. Thanks, Max. You can sit back down. Now, what has this got to do with what God's love achieves? Let's look at the verse again. It says, God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Whoever puts their trust in him will not die, but will have eternal life. God's love achieves our rescue. That's why we've got a life ring to remember that God's love achieves our rescue. God gave his son to be our savior so that we might not die but might have eternal life. Now, Jesus himself explains how that rescue was achieved. Here's another verse from the Bible. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is Jesus explaining why he came, why he was born, what Christmas is all about. He came, he says, to give his life as a ransom. That is quite striking, isn't it? Jesus is saying the whole purpose of his life was to die. Now, of course, everybody dies, but Jesus is saying something different. He's saying the whole reason he came, the whole reason he was born was to die. And he's saying that his death actually achieved something. Jesus paid the ransom. His death paid the ransom so that we could be rescued. Let me explain that very quickly. To understand this rescue, you need to know a four-letter word. Kids, are you good at spelling? S-W-A-P. Do you know what that spells? S-W-A-P. Got it in one? Swap. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, he swapped places with us. We deserved to die because of the way that we've treated God. But on the cross, Jesus gets what we deserve, and we get what he deserves. We get eternal life. Eternal life is not just life that goes on forever. Eternal life is a life of friendship with God. It's a life in which you are known and loved. It's a life of forgiveness and freedom, peace, hope, joy. God so loved the world, so loved you and me, that he gave his only son to die in our place so that we can have that life, eternal life. That is the surprising love of God. Let's recap. Who does he love? He loves the world. He loves you and me despite the way that we treat him. How does he show his love? He gave his son. He's got nothing more precious to give. And what does his love achieve? Our rescue. Jesus makes it possible for anyone to be rescued from what they deserve and to have eternal life. Now, you might be someone who doubts God's love for you. Maybe you've had a pretty rough ride in life. Maybe it's been a tough year. The message of Christmas is that God does love you. And the message of Christmas says that the place to look in order to see God's love for you is not the circumstances of your life, but the gift of his son. How do you know if God loves you? He gave his son to die for you. That's how you know. The Bible never claims that God's love means that we get an easy life. The Bible claims that God's love means he gave his son so that we can have eternal life. The only thing left to ask is, how are we going to respond? You know, when someone gives you a gift or shows you love, you've got a choice, haven't you? How to respond. You can either receive it or you can reject it. God has given the greatest gift ever. He's shown the greatest love ever. How are you going to respond? You know, when I first really grasped God's love for me, I knew that I couldn't just turn my back. I couldn't turn my back on someone who had loved me like that. I knew I had to respond. And our verse, again, tells us how to respond. It says that we are to put our trust in Jesus. Can you see that? Whoever puts their trust in him will not die, but will have eternal life. I want to ask you today, are you ready to do that? Are you ready to put your trust in Jesus? There's a famous story of a guy called Blondin, a tightrope walker, and on one occasion he strung a wire across the Niagara Falls, and a great crowd gathered. And they watched him as he walked across the tightrope and he came back. And then he pushed a wheelbarrow across the tightrope and came back. And then he asked the crowd, "Who believes I can carry a person in the wheelbarrow?" And the crowd all cheered, "Yes, you can do it. You can do it." And then he asked for a volunteer. Putting your trust in Jesus is a bit like that. It is putting your life in his hands. It is saying, Jesus, I trust you to rescue me. To rescue me from what I deserve, to give me eternal life. And I'm going to let you carry me. I'm going to let you lead me. I'm going to let you direct my life. So how are you going to respond to God's love today? You could say, thanks, Ben. All very entertaining, but no thanks. You know, I don't believe it. I don't want it. And if that's you, can I say thanks for coming? I hope at some point you'll reconsider, but please feel no pressure. You could say, Ben, you know, I just don't know. It's all very interesting. It sounds good. But there are too many questions and too many things that don't make sense. It seems so unbelievable. I'm just not sure. I'd need to find out more before I could put my trust in Jesus. And if that's you, I want to say, please do that. Please take some time to learn more. You know, I've had, 15 minutes to explain things. There's so much more to say. There are answers to your questions. It can make sense. And it is too important to just put aside. In a few minutes, Kari's going to talk about some ways that you might like to learn more. Finally, you could say, you know what, Ben? I'm ready. I don't know everything, but I know enough. And I want to put my trust in Jesus. I want to trust him with my life. If that's you, great. And in a minute, I'm going to pray a short prayer as a way for you to do that, to put your trust in Jesus. I'll pray it slowly, line by line, so you can echo it in your heart. And I'll tell you what I'm going to pray before, so that you know. This is what I'm going to pray. Dear God, thank you for your love. I don't deserve it. I'm sorry for the ways that I've treated you in the past. Thank you that you gave your son for me. I believe that he died in my place on the cross. And I want to put my trust in Jesus today. Please give me the eternal life you promise. Please help me to live for you. Why don't we all bow our heads? And if you are ready to put your trust in Jesus, if that's something you want to do today, then please echo this prayer in your own heart. Dear God, thank you for your love. I don't deserve it. I'm sorry for the ways I've treated you in the past. Thank you that you gave your son for me. I believe that he died in my place on the cross. And I want to put my trust in Jesus today. Please give me the eternal life you promise. And please help me to live for you. Amen. Let me say, if you've prayed that prayer for the first time, please come and let me know. I'll be around afterwards, or you can send me a message.